This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast, the Friday night preview show, the last Friday night preview show of this fucking horrible season, it has to be said. And I think maybe that's why I'm in a good mood, who could say. I'm obviously Stanford Chidge, your regular host on the Chelsea Fancast, and well, it's a bit of a kind of Fancast redux tonight, or not, as the case may be. It depends on your viewpoint. The absolute delightful Alex Churchill is I'm tempted to say she's lost in France, but I actually know that she's back. But she's been in France for a week and it's all gone a bit pear-shaped. So she's cried off and we are the poorer for not having her with us. So it's just me and that veritable old legend, Mr. Jonathan Kidd.
Bellend, surely.
No, legend, mate, legend.
Okay, all right, thank you. Thank you. Fabulous to be on the show. I'll introduce myself as the guest as well, if you like.
You'll have to be the Kidd twins tonight.
Yeah, I'd love that. I'd love that. If only they existed.
Indeed. How are you? You well?
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes. Fit, raring to go, waiting for the season to disappear into the dust bowl where we can just leave it lying and give it a good kicking. It's being one of the worst seasons that we've ever watched.
It's the kind of season that if we could pick it up in our hands as a bundle, we would go and build a bonfire and put it on it.
Yeah.
And expunge it that way, burn it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Having lectured it, having pointed the finger at it, having said, you fucking... But I love the fact that all the efforts everybody had early on to defend Potter, to think it was the process and to rewrite history and make out that Tuchel was an idiot and not good enough, seem to have disappeared completely now that everybody appreciates that the season has been complete shit
from
beginning to end.
Anyway, the job befalls upon us tonight to talk about this. Well, not about the whole season. We're going to obviously talk about the Man United game that was on last night, and we do have one more game of this horrible season to go, and it is on Sunday against Newcastle United. The Geordies are in tune, the tune are in tune, so we're going to be talking about that in part two, and that'll be a lot for tonight. So yes, JK, bizarrely enough, young Frank Lampard Jr. Actually picked, I think, to be fair, a pretty decent side. He picked the same midfield that I suggested, and he picked the same attack that I'd suggested. I mean, the only changes really were that Aspie came in for Silva, effectively, and he played four at the back. So, I mean, frankly, I had no grumbles whatsoever with the side that he'd picked. I mean, I can understand Aspie playing if he's playing four and Trevor had to play for Silva. I mean, actually, that's what I don't understand why Silva got dropped, but... given that he did drop Silva, then I don't think he had much option but to play Aspie.
I understand why he dropped him.
Why?
Because he wanted to play speed. He wanted to play quick transitions from the back.
Well, then why did he have Aspie in the side then?
There's no one else.
Okay.
And he could have played Cheek, but Cheek doesn't play to the right of a four.
Well, he doesn't play a right back, does he, basically?
No. So he couldn't have played anyone else because there was nobody else fit. And I think because a couple of times he went down, didn't he, Aspie, looking as if he'd injured himself. But I wondered, in fact, if he was taking a breather. And actually, in olden times, they'd have said, oh, look, they're getting a bottle of scotch out for him to revive him.
Mate, I think they could do a lot worse this season. I mean, look, it was a weird old game. I mean, it was weird for me because I managed. I mean, it's quite funny because I had a client until about 8:05 last night. So I TiVo'd it so I could, you know, rewind and start and watch it from the start. And I'd already, because I had my phone in front of me, so I knew that United scored after 5 minutes, and I came down and Sarah said, oh, hello. I said, you know what? I said, you know, I've just had a client. I'm now coming down to watch the football. I said, that bunch of useless tossers couldn't even wait for me to get downstairs before conceding a bloody goal. But that said, I have to say, you know, I thought it was a much better first half performance.
It was speedy.
Well, they were pinging the ball around.
They pinged it. The advantage of originally playing Fofana in the middle is that he's a quick boy, and Chalabar has been intriguing because he's actually played really competently in the last few games, and he would be my a kind of bright spark along with Lewis Hall. Lewis Hall had a corker.
Lewis Hall.
It's such a crap charge. You just
Lewis,
can't bear it.
Lewis
I just,
Hall.
I so want them to come up with other things, you know. But also, the other person who had a really good game, this is all first half, actually, because the second half just was all the substitutions and everything and the scoring of goals and the ridiculous errors just fell apart. But for 45 minutes, other than their goal, we were the better team. Yeah. They were a bit tepid. They were much better in the second half. He obviously had a word with them, and there was space. But also, we made lots of space by pinging the ball about really quickly. And that's so. Now, my trouble is I keep thinking whether he's in cahoots with Pochettino, because sure, Pochettino must be in on this. He must, even though they haven't. I think he's signed it, and they haven't officially announced it, because it's almost as if he's saying, try this, do this, because I can't really think what other reason there would be.
He's hiding in a laundry basket.
Oh, I'd love it with a little video. Well, nowadays you don't need to hide in the laundry basket, do you? You can just be at home, and there'll be a whole series of video cameras doing it all for you, and you can just get through to Frank. But no, I don't think he's giving Frank advice. I think he's just saying, what would be the possibilities of playing this? I mean, it's so much quicker having Mudrick is, you know, he bashed the ball ahead of him, missed an absolute sitter, for goodness sake, after a lovely move involving Hall again. But he really is, you know, he's near the finished article, but he's so bloody quick. If the next manager can actually do something with him, I know we've got a real handful there. And the problem I've got with both him and Madueke is, in fact, Spy Neil Barnett pointed this out on Twitter today, is that Hudson-Odoi was about as good as them this time last year. And we've got, you know, Odoi is languishing with Leverkusen and is probably be sold and isn't very good. And yet we've replaced him with a couple of wingers who, Odoi's big problem was that he wouldn't take players on, and it, which absolutely drove Tuchel around the twist. But in terms of the occasional ability to beat someone and get a centre in, I'm not seeing much difference with Mudrick and Madueke, because I hope Mudrick and Madueke are for the future. I hope they'll get better. I love the way that Madueke takes people on, because that is a first. But then you compare him with this boy Palmer that played for City at the weekend and played again this week. And you think, well, where do they spot him? He just does the basics better than both of them. And what is this route that City have got to these better players that we don't have? Is this what he's trying to set up?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, look, I think Madueke is very young and very raw, but I think
they both are.
But hear me out. But I think what's brilliant about him is that he's got no fear. And this is the interesting thing about this, because he's got no fear, and he will go past people, he will take on. What he hasn't got yet is the footballing experience and nous to know when to, you know, find that final ball, pass the final ball to something. You know, he just doesn't have that in his locker yet, but he'll learn.
Yeah.
If I was managing him, I'd say, mate, don't worry about it. You just keep doing what you do. Keep taking people on. Keep beating people. Keep getting in those positions. You know, I've got no problem with that.
No, I agree. But wouldn't you say the same for Mudrick?
No, I'm about to. Mudrick.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Yes. Hear me out, dear boy. No, Mudrick. You're right. I mean, he's a good player. There's no doubt about that. He's got pace to burn. I think Mudrick's problem is his confidence is shot to bits. And I have to say, this worries me because, you know, whilst confidence can come and go, we know that. But the number of players that we've seen come and go at Chelsea whose confidence has been shat on from a great height the minute they get here, and they never. Torres is an example. The most recent example is Werner. You know, he missed a few sitters early on and he never really found his mojo. I really hope this is not going to be the case of Mudrick, because, I mean, it was really interesting, actually, because I was listening, although it pains me to say so, I think I just left the radio on too long. But they had, you know, the Drive show with Andy Goldstein and Darren Bent. But actually, Darren Bent said something really, really interesting, because he explained it to that you know, to Goldstein, that the whole Mudrick issue is completely down to confidence. And he used to play football. He was a striker. It wasn't a bad one either. And he broke down that miss, that awful miss, where he basically went with his wrong foot after Hall crossed. I mean, that should have been a goal. Yeah. But he said that was all to do with his confidence. And he said basically what's happening is he's got too much going on in his head before the cross comes in. You know, I mustn't miss this. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. La, 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 la. And he's too busy thinking about that and doesn't focus on the ball. And I get that. So hopefully, you know, a new season, a new manager and a fresh start, in a sense, will help Mudrick. But, you know, you've got to pursue. I mean, mate, you rarely get that kind of pace in this game. And when you do...
I completely agree. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, stick with him. He'll come good. I mean, you know, it's an interesting point, actually, about I mean, just slightly off topic, really, but you know me. I mean, one of the really interesting things about this match was the fact that it was our youngest ever average starting 11 in a Premier League match, 23 years and 238 days, and all done by removing Silva, which I think is quite he must be 932, for God's sake. But no, in all seriousness, I mean, you know, we've been moaning a lot about Frank not picking youngsters, and we forget, actually, that half the team that's been playing most of the season are quite young. So maybe that's an encouraging thing, that they're getting their feet wet.
One of the things that I thought a real positive that came out of that first half performance was that Connor appeared to have a role.
Don't tell me he was playing in his best position. Who fucking knew?
Who'd have known? And he was really good. He was really everywhere. And the energy was fantastic. And it made me think, well, if they can harness this, he cannot possibly go. Now, the problem, though, is that we're leaving out six players, aren't we? Because they're all injured. So we're making assessments on this team thinking, oh, they're quite good. Yeah, that could be next year. But half the team, you know, is on an ambulance, in an ambulance.
No, you're dead right. We don't know who's going to go, who Poch is going to like, who they're going to buy, and all of that. I know exactly what you mean. I thought Gallagher did well. I mean, again, he suffered from the usual inability to finish as well. I mean, it's just so dispiriting to see the same thing every week. And as I said, I sat there, you know, a little bit kind of disconnected, disassociated from it. So I'm not as emotionally engaged, because I'd literally come out of work. I literally finished a Zoom meeting upstairs, came down, started watching it. So I kind of watched it with a slightly impartial eye, and I really generally thought they played pretty well that first half. But, it, you know, yet again, it's the two Achilles heels of this side. Key stop cop defending, puts them 1-0 down after 5 minutes. They're totally up against it after that. They're not stupid. They know how bloody impossible it is for them to score. So they know they've got a mountain to climb. And then it was exactly that complete inability to finish what were really good moves. I mean, for fuck's sake, as you kept on saying in the fan bite, drives you up the wall.
The once again, Havertz was playing centre forward, you know, and you just got to go, Yeah, but I suppose once again there isn't anybody else. You know, Bameyang will never play another kick, another ball for Chelsea.
He did bring Fofana Dion, didn't he?
Yeah, who was hopeless.
Is he really? I just lost the will to live by that stage, so I wasn't really watching. What was he? Was he awful?
Awful.
Well, define awful.
Chasing the ball, losing it when you get hold of it, being tackled immediately, just not looking imposing. Not doing anything that a striker does, not having a shot. Well, having probably a shot from the edge of the area, as most of them do, but it got blocked. I mean, just he played exactly the same way he played against City when he was came on for the cup tie. We're sort of meaningless. You just, you know, he's not getting he's not getting enough. The ball isn't played to him well enough. And when he gets it, he's being easily brushed off.
Well, you make a good point there. One thing I did notice a lot was that, again, so many passes were going awry, either slightly behind them or too far forward. Apart from Enzo, who did two immaculate 40-yard passes across the pitch, only for Mudweki to completely fucking miss it, and the other one for Mudrik to miscontrol it. I mean, I mean, Christ on a bike. I wonder what Enzo thinks. He must think, what the fuck have I done?
I think he's thinking about the money at the moment, and I think he's aware because his lifestyle will have changed completely, and he's waiting for the next manager who's Argentinian like him.
Yeah.
So I think he sees this light at the tunnel, but light at the end of the tunnel, I should say, but. It was interesting to see the speed with which they attempted to play. And I actually thought there's a consequence of having to play more quickly. They made more effort and looked more of a team, which was a positive. But whether that side will ever play again like that, I mean, we're going to get onto it. But Fofana was absolutely awful.
But wasn't he just three goals he was really culpable for?
Oh, you know, and you cannot have
plus
that.
Plus the one against City.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's not that bad a player, mate. I mean, he's a good player.
He went Gary Lineker when he was sold, said they've got a really good player there. Yeah.
And we've seen that.
We've seen him be good. But similarly, he was very poor against Madrid at the bridge, at Real Madrid. He was sort of out of position a lot. And I know whether he's just been, you know, a victim of the idiocy of the management this season, I don't know, but or whether he's not playing in a good enough team, so he's trying to make decisions for himself and failing miserably. But that whole process of they still can't, you know, as I said in my fan bite, the idea of playing out from the back is to create an environment so the opposition is pulled onto the ball and you then create space and you can progress up the field with the space. We look as if, as I equated it to somebody on a your grandmother on a Zimmer frame trying to cross a busy junction, but we're so unhappy in that environment, and I'm afraid that is the way that everybody plays.
I think it's a combination of, again, abject confidence, and I don't think it helps when we all know that, you know, successful sides have a very settled back five, as in, you know, including the keeper if they're playing four at the back. And we've not had that consistency of selection all season, and you know we've been dogged by injuries, of course. But I think
what was the reason, Chief? You know, so what was the reason for dropping Silva then? That, you know, if
well,
I said it was the speed.
I don't know.
Wanted to try the speed, but
I've no idea.
From a solidity aspect of it, you know, like the opening header for Fana, nobody there, nobody. The challenge on Casemiro was useless.
No, I agree. I mean, but that's the point.
Number
isn't
of
it?
Occasions.
I think
when Rodriguez hit the bar, you know, nobody was there to press him. Nobody there to put a block on. Nobody ran out. This whole process.
Well, yeah, but
basic.
You've answered the question. Silva wasn't there, and I think that's the other thing we underestimate. Silva makes the players around him look 100% better. He made Badiashile look great. He made Koulibaly look good. He makes Trevo look good. He makes Fofana look good. And you take him out of the equation, they look like headless chickens. Yeah. He organises everything. As well as doing more than his fair share, because he reads the game so well. It doesn't matter he's 39 nearly or whatever he is. He hasn't lost his pace. He's half a yard quicker than everybody on the pitch because he reads the game so well.
he was attempting to play a higher line, wasn't he, Frank, last night? And they sort of dealt with it. They dealt with United's counter-attacks. What they just made was just appalling error after appalling error. They seemed to have the counter-attacks, you know, in their pocket, actually. They did well. There was always somebody running back who was quick. They got that worked out. There was somebody, you know, there were a couple of occasions where United should have scored, and there was some good defending and decent not keeping. He didn't have much to do, actually, Kepa, in the first half. But people got in the way. But then you cannot legislate for the idiocy that Fofana showed in the second half.
As I said, I think for all the reasons I explained, I think it's unsurprising why that's crept in. I'll tell you what else I liked. I liked the midfield. I mean, you mentioned Gallagher playing in his right position. I think Enzo is doing his best not to spontaneously combust with fury at the moment, but he's still a good player. But I tell you who impressed me again, and it was balance, and it just made it all work. But Chukwuemeka is, you know, I think he contributed to that. I think that three in midfield did all right, actually. Certainly first half.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it was good to see him get a go, actually, wasn't it? It was good to see him get, because that was the reason for his not going to play with the England youth, because they were going to use him. And the very fact that he got a game all the way through at Old Trafford, I thought was brilliant. But once again, you know, will he be contributing next season? It's down to the assessment made by the new manager, which, according to some vague in the know people who appear to be journalists, he is doing at this very moment. And they would be foolish not to be employing him at the moment, unless he said, I don't want anything to do with it, and I only want to have something to do with it when I'm being paid and the season starts. But I think if you've got any kind of, as I said, he may very well have been appointed already. They're just not doing it officially, so that he can then just get on with the job of working out, because it's a big job. And despite all the articles one reads on Mount is joining, it's now Man U, was Liverpool and whoever. That hasn't been decided, and they won't have any knowledge of this at all, these in the know people. I mean, I even got asked by somebody rather nicely, what's your hit on it, Jonathan? You know, I said, I haven't got a clue. Why would I know that? What's happening to Mason? You know, but I'd have thought that Pochettino would have wanted one of the top Chelsea players of the past who goes back to having played, you know, he's one of our own playing for the youth. But we don't know, do we? We don't know what plan Pochettino has. Pochettino might have decided, well, I don't need that kind of player. I'd like to use someone else. Or we don't even know whether the hedge funders are going to try and buy somebody else or buy a couple of other people. It's a complete, you'd have to gaze into your crystal ball and make a guess to find out what on earth is going to happen
next
season.
You know what, from what we know about Pochettino, Mason Mount is absolutely his kind of player, because he wants fit players who press have that energy. Yeah. You know, I said on the show weeks ago, I said, you know, Mount could be his Son Myung-son or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's that kind of a player. So, or Dele Alli, you said, when actually Dele Alli was good. Interesting stuff.
He did on the far post a lot. He always played lots of far post balls for Dele Alli.
He did. Right, we can't really. It would be very. No, actually, I'll rephrase. It would be very churlish of us not to mention the absolutely superb goal that Felix scored, where he waltzed from the halfway line. It's very, very funny. I was talking to Kerry today about the match, funnily enough. Yeah. And he said, tell me about the Felix goal. Was it any good? Because he hadn't seen it on the telly. And I said, actually, mate, it was a good goal. He waltzed from the halfway line towards the penalty area, and he kind of passed. It was a very Jimmy Greaves-like goal, actually. He passed the ball into the net from just outside the penalty area. I said, it was a really good goal. But I said, I do have to wonder why none of the Man United players took him out. Why were there no tackles?
Because they were 4-0 up.
Exactly.
And they couldn't be asked.
Exactly that. I think it was the definition of a consolation goal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In a way. But anyway, it was no consolation for us, mate. I don't know. It's just really weird. I thought they were. I thought. I'll tell you what. The other thing. I forgot to do the Prem Predictions League for this match because I very cleverly thought, you know what? I'm going to wait till after the City match to predict that one, and then I completely forgot to do it. So, given that I would have probably predicted us winning, I've probably done quite well considering we got hammered 4-1. But I mean, I thought there were parallels in a way with Frank's 4-0 defeat to United in 2019, because I don't think we deserve to get battered 4-1. I really don't. I mean, three of their goals were down to abject errors by us, and we could have scored two or three in the first half. And that does remind me a little bit about that performance up at Old Trafford then, when we actually were the better side for most of it and ended up getting beaten 4-0.
Yes. You know, there are echoes of that, but we didn't know what was going to happen because it was Frank's first game, wasn't it? First game of the season. Whereas in this instance, it was pretty likely that we'd be drubbed regardless of the performance, just because that appears to be the default at the moment. They give away stupid goals and they can't score at the other end. So it's not a good combination, that is it, for success. But, you know, I mean, good luck to him for finally playing the team that we all liked. And lo and behold, hey, what a surprise. We actually played pretty well playing the two wingers.
Yeah.
But the dilemma is, once again, Havertz isn't a centre forward. Be interesting to see what role he is given Pochettino, because when he has, bizarrely, when he plays, we said every time, when he plays behind an attacker, when he's in midfield almost, he is indeed silky. But when he has to play centre forward, he's so out of his depth. You know, like that header, for God's sake. You know, he headed it. He got there too soon, didn't he? And then headed about.
Well, I think that's possibly also a confidence lower than a snake's belly issue at the moment. Yeah. But I mean, you're right. I mean, you know, I think Havertz is best playing in the pocket or the hole. I mean, you know, I think he's very good at drifting around in spaces where he doesn't get marked and arriving on the periphery to put ones away. And ironically, that's great for that role, but unbelievably awful for a number nine, and he still plays that way as a number nine.
He doesn't want to get involved as a number nine. He doesn't want to mix it as a number nine. He wants to. He really doesn't like being kicked by a centre half. He really doesn't like the challenge of a centre half, which you have to have as a striker. You can see him. He goes in. He looks a bit. He tries to foul first. He looks at them and backs into them, or he nudges them. And you think if it was Mark Hughes would have, you know, left something on him. And the referee would have come up and told him off, and he'd have then feigned innocence. And but with Havertz, you just think, God, no, you can't really do it. They've hit you, and you're thinking, I don't know what to do here. Do I hit them back? Shall I be petulant? And then he has the moment of petulance, and of course, then everybody they really shouts at him, and you just think, you're in a 1930s play, mate, and you're wearing a tuxedo, and it's not working. You know, he's. It's painful watching him play centre forward. Yeah. It really.
Well, I feel for him. He's doing a job for the team. Just he's doing a rather poor one. Something caught my eye after the game, which were Frank's comments about, again, alluding to this poor attitude from the training ground to the pitch. And I don't mean to sound like a broken record because I know we've talked about this before, but. It's somewhat dispiriting to hear that. It really is. I mean, I have to say, I sat. They had the camera on Frank quite a lot last night, and his face was like thunder for most of it, but also with that quite a sad air of resignation. It was just like, I fell for him. I thought, Jesus,
it's that lack of effort, Chidge, isn't
yeah.
it? It's he knows what he'd have done in that situation. You know, he'd have run back, he'd have tackled, he'd have dived in. But it's what other teams have, as I've said, this ability to dive in and block or just dive in. They see the ball and they'll not illegally, they're just there. The Forest, for goodness sake, are streets below our standard of player that they've got. They're just, it's
the intensity, isn't it?
Intensity and being in your face. You haven't got that at all with anybody. Well, Connor's the only one who does that, and he's slightly all arms and legs and a bit, we talk about headless chicken. Occasionally he's a rubber chicken bouncing about,
I think he reminds me of a Labrador.
Yeah, there is a bounciness about him that way, isn't there?
Yeah.
Big tongue. He's but
excitable and all over you.
Yes, yes, yes. With despite you asking him not to because you're
allergic. The minute somebody else says, here's some food, they're completely disinterested.
They're off.
Yeah, they're off. They're off in the other direction, aren't they? Yeah. That's the ball, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
And then we had the second half when, of course, as I said at my fan bite, it's almost as if he brings everybody on to show whoever it is who's coming how crap they are. It's as if somebody said, Pochettino or somebody has said, bring all the other ones on for no apparent reason without a plan, just so we can see how they perform. Because you just think, why? It's this constant thing of thinking, why have you brought this player on? What for? You know, I to replace Mudrik. I just want Mudrik to keep going.
Well,
you know, I don't want him off. I don't want him off at 63 minutes, which
it's
frankly
pointless.
Pointless. Yeah. Let him run. Let him have his game time. Don't. If he's depressed and lacking in confidence, don't make him even less confident by bringing him off early. Let him carry on. Let him, unless, of course, they've got, you know, their heart tickers. They've got everything on those little chips they have in there.
I think if I was the Chelsea, person in charge of their GPS heart monitor thing,
I'd be
taking them off to check. In fact, if there was a pulse. I think I'd be more worried about that, mate. They're certainly not raising their heart rate, are they? Anyway, it was a very disappointing second half. I mean, actually, do you know what? I say that. I was going to say we collapsed. We did collapse in a football sense, but actually, I think they didn't give up, actually. They didn't chuck it in.
But it was the kind of not chucking it in of a non-league side playing in a cup tie.
Yes, it was actually. You know, it reminded me. I did have that feeling of like a lower league side playing a Premier League side who were playing shit.
Yeah,
but were still going to beat you anyway.
Taking their foot off the gas because they've got a cup final coming up and they don't really care very much.
I know. Listen, I was going to say something that relates actually to what you were saying a minute ago, and definitely about fight. Enzo had that. Enzo and Pulisic had a bit of a flare up.
I like that.
Yes, I did.
I like that. I actually thought, Enzo, good for you, mate, because he had words with Fernandez. And of course, they're speaking.
A little rat fucker that he is.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
Horrible man. He's got such a punchable face, hasn't he?
Unfortunately, very good.
Yep.
He's a very good player. Very, very good player indeed. But his attitude and his playing goes with his attitude. He's sneaky and nasty. And to an extent, I'd like him playing for us. I'd like that with him.
I'd like that
sneakiness and nastiness because he's the kind of player who would say to somebody, come on, you can't play like this. Come on, you've got to make more effort because he wouldn't have it. But, you know, that. I mean, good luck to them. You know, Casemiro's a gem of a player. Wow.
And what did I say about him on the show a few weeks ago? Why didn't we sign a player like that?
Well, you know, they foolishly went in with this idea of just buying youth. Look how unstuck they've come.
Fucking idiots. I mean, it was pleasing to see Enzo give it out a bit. Again, it was very dispiriting to see not one Chelsea player really wading in as well. You know, I'm sick to death of this. I mean, if I was the manager, you know, on the training ground, I would be instilling this into them. I said, if one in, you're all in. I mean, I know that there are rules and you're not supposed to crowd out the referee.
Mace would have been there.
Mace would have been in there first. He always stood up to this.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to give it back. You've got to give it back. It's all part of the game in my book. You know, Rudiger, one of the things I love, I said this so many times on this show, I'm just absolutely in awe and enamoured of him running the entire length of the pitch to get involved in a scrap, and he was still the first there. You know, in the days when we actually, a lot of us did like scrap. So, you know, you need that. You need, you know, for fuck's sake, it's your teammates. You're in the trenches with them. You need to fucking back them up. You know, I think it really upsets me, actually, when you see, like, I mean, it's happened a lot this season. Connor was getting monstered by the Palace players, wasn't there? Nobody came in and stood up for him. It happens far too much, you know. And if, as I said, if I was Frank, I'd be... You need to teach them that. Why you need to teach this, I don't know, but they clearly need to.
It speaks volumes about the approach of the squad, actually.
The lack of unity.
Yes. Yeah.
And the lack of aggression, the lack of anything, you know, what's the word? A bit of oomph about them. Yeah. You know, fuck's sake, mate. I tell you, mate, I wouldn't like to go out on a Friday night drinking with that lot. You know, first whiff of trouble, they'll be, you know, in some poncy wine bar.
What would happen was they'd all meet at Fulham Broadway Station and say, well, actually, I'm going to a party up the way. And the other one would go, well, I'm not going there. I'm going down to I'm going to the Cock, and somebody goes, no, I'm not going there. I'm going somewhere. And in the end, they'd all have gone to different locations.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I wouldn't want any of them having my back. That's for sure. I shall tell you this, because it's completely off-piste, and I do like a bit of off-piste on a Friday. I went to a gig when I was very young. I can't even remember who it was now. It might be in the Cult or somebody like that. And there's a bit of mosh pit action going on, and I'm there with a few mates, and I'd obviously piss some little twat off, and I was about to get roundly clouted from behind, you know, a haymaker from behind, the worst, lowest shot in the book. And I was completely oblivious to this. And my couple of mates that were there caught it, and they both hit this guy from either side, so left and right at the same time, and he went down like a cartoon sack of potatoes. They had my back. That's what you have to have, you know, in all team sports. Yes. Anyway, on that rather violent end to part one, you know, I did live to fight another day. I didn't do any of the fight, because I'm a lover, not a fighter, really. So, you know, I'd have been pointless. If I'd have got hit, it'd have been pointless. But they were rather handy, and they weren't having it. So well done. Anyway.
Would you have gone, ow?
Ow. Not the face. Not the face. Anything but the face. Knowing me, I'd have tried to talk my way out of it, and then ended up talking my way into more trouble. But I don't think I had an option. I pissed him off, and from behind, he was about to clock me one. But there you go. Anyway, we move to part two, and we'll be back in a nanosecond. When you follow a big team like Chelsea, one of the most frustrating things is not being able to get a ticket for the match, especially when it's away and not live on TV in the UK. What can you do? Get updates from your mates, follow online commentary, listen to the radio? Let's face it, it's not the same as actually watching the match live, is it? NordVPN have the solution to every football supporter's match day problems when they can't watch the match live. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords. It's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back. This is the Chelsea Fancast with me, Stamford Chidge, the last Friday night preview show of the season, which is either a cause for huge celebration or a tinge of sadness. I'll let you vote on a poll that I'll put up later on during the show. He lied. Anyway, I've got the wonderful Jonathan Kidd with me.
Oh, how lovely to be on the show. Thank you very much.
It's just us two tonight.
I know.
Yeah. Hinge and Brackett, Laurel and Hardy.
I'm trying to think whether I should have a different attitude this half. So I'll be good cop and bad cop. You know.
Who would we? We'd have had Alex on tonight. So can you do a passable impression of Alex?
I'd have to be a bit like that, wouldn't I? And I have to say, what's the name of her cat? I can't remember.
Bertie.
Bertie. Oh, hang on, Bertie. Let's see what Bertie's been doing. No, I can't
do
good.
No, not good. Needs a bit of work, that one.
It does, yeah.
Hopefully, JK, the best thing in the entire show on a Friday never needs a bit of work, because it's had some. And it's my team selection. Do you want to know what it is? Do you want to know what it is?
I love it.
Do you think it might have changed a lot?
The team that you would choose?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm making a strange noise. I think it'll resemble what we had against United.
All right. Well, you're not far wrong. This is for Newcastle United. I have gone with the same. No, I haven't gone with the same back four. Silva's in. Aspie's out. So Hall, Silva, Fofana, Chalobah, based on the theory that Fofana will play better with Silva there, like what we were saying earlier on. Travo never does anything wrong in my book. He's not the best right back in the world. He's not the best centre back in the world, but it'd give you 100%. And in a team where they give you about 2.5%, most of them, that's like gold dust. And I love Lewis Hall. I love him. He's 18, people. He's 18, and he's been one of our best players every time he plays.
The trouble is, Chich, though, if you look at all these players about not giving 100%, they sort of attempt to give 100%, but they're just not good enough. Because Silva always gives 100%. Fofana's attempts at giving 100% end in disaster. Chalobah attempts to give 100%. Hall knows nothing else. Still raw, but gives 100%. Gallagher can't not give 100%. Fernandez possibly would play better in a better side, but he's still very industrious. Chukwuemeka, youngster, doesn't really know how to give 100%, I think, because he's learning the game. Madueke, similarly. Mudryk, similarly. Havertz definitely doesn't give 100%. So possibly the only player who doesn't give 100% is Havertz.
Okay,
but
I'd concede the point.
Yeah, but yeah, I know. But at the same time, I agree with you because they're
it
not.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
It feels like it. Yeah. So what it must be is the players aren't playing to their full potential. Now we know that Fofana isn't. We Kepa is. You know, is. It'd be interesting to see what he was like behind a better team. Because at the moment he's on a hiding
well,
to nothing.
Better, because he wouldn't have to save many shots, would he?
Exactly.
To be fair to Kepa, you know, it could have been 6, 7 or 8 last night if it hadn't have been for him.
Yeah.
You know. I think poor old Kepa, you know, I just think we know that he's not really, you know, if we are to be a side competing for the title, competing deep into Europe, competing for trophies, he's probably not your man, and he's probably not your man because he's not as good as Thibaut Courtois, even though he was a snake, and he's not as good as Petr Cech. And, you know, to be a great team, you need a great goalkeeper, and Kepa is not a great goalkeeper. Well, he's a good goalkeeper, a good one, but not a great one.
Taking that argument further, Chidge, which is if we're going to be competing on the elite level with the Madrids and the Cities, who of this lot would play?
Right now, only Fernandez. And Silva. I mean, you know, I don't know whether you can really call Fernandez world class, but he's just won a World Cup, so he can't be too shabby.
Yeah, you'd have to consider that. But
Silva, we know, is world class.
At the same time, though, if you look at Brighton, if you looked at that team at the beginning of the season, you'd say, well, none of them is good enough. But he's made them play. Well,
McAllister is.
Yeah, McAllister always
was. He's won a World Cup.
Yeah, and Caicedo's fantastic. Yeah.
Well, but what if Brighton won?
No, indeed.
Fuck all, mate.
I know that's always the arbiter, isn't it? That's the litmus test.
I think
test.
So. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're told Fofana is a good player. He may become a great player. Hall and Chalobah, I mean, who knows? Maybe Hall will become a great player.
Gallagher may become
a great player. Mudryk may. I mean, you know, I think the point that you make is absolutely spot on. None of them are now, and all of them, it's just potential. And you and I know, because we've watched a lot of football, that a lot has got to happen before you can even think about that. And I think just to completely go off-piste again, but I think it's related, this is the crime. Or the tragedy of Mason Mount here, because Mason Mount has consistently over a 3 or 4 year period improved. Okay, this year he stunk the place out, but then who hasn't? And he's had injuries, yada yada yada. But you know, he was on the right trajectory. You know, he wasn't like a kid who came in and just stayed being only that good for 3 years. He got better and better and better, and he was on the right trajectory. And he's on the right trajectory that you could say if he carries on that trajectory, he could go down as one of, you know, a great Chelsea player. That's the point. You can't say that about any of these players yet. All way too early in their career, isn't it? You've got Absolutely. To do it 2, 3, 4 seasons on the trot.
But I suppose what you would have hoped that they'd come in when around them there were players who you think were at that advanced standard, so they could learn and be influenced and be part of the team that had such great aspirations and were, and had achieved them. And you look at the Champions League winning side of 2 years ago, and it barely resembles anything to do with this at all, does it?
No, so, it doesn't. It's already been consigned to the dustbin of history. Anyway, to finish my team, Hall, Silva, Fofana, Chiloba in front of Kepa. Same midfield, Gallagher, Fernandes, Chukwuemeka, and up front, Mudryk and Madueke. And I am going to actually give Fofana D a run out. And I'll tell you for why. It, frankly, right now, it can't be worse than having Havertz there. Sterling, I'm not going to go with who I think Frank will pick. This is who I would pick. Sterling stinks the place out. Pulisic stinks the place out. They're not, neither of them are centre forwards. Felix is okay, but a bit mercurial, but he's not a centre forward. He's a number 10. So, you know, we know that Fofana's a striker. I mean, he's quite a lump as well, isn't he? You know, that we're going to be up. Mind you, says you've got the counter argument about Dan Burn, and maybe you have little tricky people running around. Look, fuck it. Fofana is a striker. Give him a go. What's the worst that can happen? We lose another match? Well, we've lost plenty of those this season, so one more is really not going to make much difference. Give him a go.
He'll pick Havertz.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Or Sterling.
Well, I don't understand why Sterling wasn't in the squad at all. So have they, has he gone into decline because he wasn't picked for England, or did he just fancy a game off? I don't know what happened to him. Or is that him for the season? Well, tomorrow is the end of the season, so if he's not playing, is the great reset? Does he appear in that great reset? I suppose he does, because he's got a much longer contract than anybody else. Yeah, I can't. I know Fofana's a sort of registered striker, but he was completely out of his depth playing yesterday. So I think Havertz gets in by default. No one else. Kovacic is injured now as well, isn't he? But I reckon I felt the die was cast after his strange performance the other day when he hardly figured. He substituted at half time. I think he'll play Hall again just because Cucurella's injured. I mean, how many people are injured?
I'm about for good to tell you, if you bear with me, I can reveal, drum roll, who's going to be injured. Okay. Badashile, groin injury. Bettinelli, how did he get injured? He's not even played. For fuck's sake. Brozier, we know about him, knee injury. Chilwell, muscle injury. Cucurella, thigh injury. James, hamstring injury. Kante, groin injury. Mount, pelvis injury. Questionable. Kovacic, knock. So that's your emergency ward 10 list.
So there was nothing wrong with Silva. He just didn't play or make the squad for the United game.
Appears so.
Yeah, perhaps he was depressed having not been picked for England. Or perhaps there was a deal. I don't know. Yes, if he suddenly appears, I think he'll play him. And I think Mudryk will be on the bench. If he does play with the two wingers, it'll be Sterling and Madueke. It's a very, very different player, isn't he, Sterling, from Mudryk? Mudryk is very much just pace and running at people and getting there before everybody else. And I keep saying this, I think Mudryk will come good, whereas I'm not convinced Sterling will come good. But once again, if the new manager, if it is Pochettino, has a specific role for him, I think he could do okay. I think he's playing on reputation and not on his current abilities. I think he'll keep Gallagher going, because Gallagher seems to be he's everybody. When Kante's injured, he's the only person who can run around as well.
I think they're down to the bare bones. Martin A says that he's obviously a big fan of your fan bites. He says Gillette is injured.
And Gillette is injured.
Yeah, he's heard that he's had a small cut shaving. So there we go. Well done, Martin. I think what would be interesting is that if Frank continues to play to youth rather than, you know, dare I say it, go for experience.
Who could he bring in then? Who's that boy Gilchrist? What was he? I didn't see him. Who does he play for?
Apparently, well, he hasn't played for Chelsea yet, but I didn't look at the bench for yesterday, so it'd be quite interesting to see, you know, exactly who they did have on the bench. Give me one second, I will tell you. Lineups. Here we go. The subs were Fofana, maybe it's Adam Gilchrist who's kind of changed nationalities.
And he's come to be a
pinch hitter for us.
Lower order batsman. Yeah.
And maybe a keeper. I don't know much about him really. But I can tell you, because if I click on this, it tells you that, in fact, actually even Flash Score know nothing about him. The requested data is not available. We will keep adding the historical data to our database. Career. Oh, here we go. He's been at Chelsea since as an under 18. Not scored many goals or assists. Transfer.
Where does he play?
Well, I'm just finding that out, but it's not telling me. No, come on, tell me what he does. Do you know what, mate? I have no idea. I don't have enough bandwidth to watch the youth, so I'm not the right person. Go and listen to London Is Blue. They cover youth football. Anyway, yeah, so who else did we have on? I mean, basically, it was the same old on the bench, apart from Gilchrist. Felix, Koulibaly, Loftus-Cheek, Mendy, Pulisic, Silva, Ziyech. So, you know.
Do you think he might give Koulibaly a go with Silva? Might not play Fofana after Fofana's...
I have no idea what he'll do.
As always. No, I'm just...
None at all.
I'm musing. Yeah. And
I think Sterling's, you know, quite possibly a good shout from you there, you know, unless he is injured, as Martin says. Anyway, I think, you know, it's our last match of the season. Usually this is a time for, I mean, you know, it's quite a sad time, really. It's the last time we all kind of get together at our second home, and you know, it's a bit of a party atmosphere. Who knows what this is going to be like. I can tell you this though, Chelsea breaking all the wrong records. Get a load of this. We've now lost 22 games this season. That's 22 games, not Premier League games, just games. That's the most since 1978-79, when we were relegated. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. What,
how shit were we then?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's that bad.
If it weren't for the fact that we got those points under Tuchel, we would have gone down, because this is just, it's been abject.
JK, you're right. And do you know what? I checked this out on Flash Score as well. On the last five games, we're in 17th position. This is form guide. Our last 10, we're in 18th. If we'd have had a few more games, we would have been relegated. If we'd have had five more games, I'm convinced we would have gone down.
Yeah.
So our viewpoint a few weeks ago, I don't think that would have changed at all. Now, this guy did this. I grabbed this just as... I was losing the will to live after the match. This is our worst in the Premier League. Okay, so our worst finishing position is 14th. We should avoid that. We might equal it if we lose and others win. We're already on our lowest points of 43. We've equaled that. So if we don't win, we'll equal that. We're on our lowest wins. So if we don't win on Sunday, we'll break the record for that. 11 wins in a Premier League season. We've got lowest goals, 37, and I don't think we're going to beat Newcastle 10-0. So I think that one's in the bag as well. We've equaled games failed to score, 14. So if we score against Newcastle United, then we will not have our lowest games failed to score. And I think the year that this was, it's about, what, 96 or something like that, maybe earlier. It's all pretty fucking rubbish, isn't it? Let's be honest. There's a couple of other ones I picked out from Flash Score, actually. We've won one of our last 13 competitive fixtures, drawn 3, lost 9. We're looking to make our first home league win since March the 4th, when it was freezing. Now it's like Texas. Drawn 3, lost 3. So there we go. It's all just needing to stop, JK, basically, isn't it? It needs to stop.
But it you know, I sort of feel for Frank, really, because he's come across well as a figurehead, as we knew he would, because he expresses himself well. And we have sympathy for him, because we always will have, because he was such a great player. But his team selection for the past few weeks has just been bewildering. And I know he's been hamstrung by injuries. Because once again, we appear to have gone into the world of the same kind of injuries we had at the beginning of the season, replicated at the end of the season. And the advantage is that at least we're not going down, so he can play different permutations. But the one permutation that we as fans have seen being the best was the one at Bournemouth. He's only played once, and he played it last night. And it was let down by defensive performance, because he didn't have the defence bolstered in the same way that he had before. So if he is experimenting, I don't quite know why or who for. This makes me have this theory that he may actually be guided by a representative of the new manager, just saying, play this team for me so that I can see what they're like under these circumstances. It just seems a bit far-fetched, because he would say, I'm the manager, I'm doing what I like.
I agree.
And perhaps that was the deal that he was in. I just don't understand why he's farted about so much.
The only explanation I can think of is the shot window argument. One I can tolerate is the shot window argument. If the club have said, look, we know what's going on, we know where we are, we're not going to go down. Try and give as many players as you can a run out, just so that, as I said last week about Pulisic, proof of life, they're actually available to buy. Do you know what they should have done? If I was running the club, and you're not allowed to do this, but the Premier League as well, I suspect, I would have had some of these players coming out with, instead of their shirt number, their value. Call this number to buy now.
And it could be an 0898 number. It's premium line.
Yeah, premium line. So there you go. This is almost like walking advert.
100 quid a minute.
Maybe that's why they're doing it. Because I think, again, I heard this on the radio today, actually, and it made very good sense. And, really, really what should have happened, if Frank had generally, and one has to presume that he hasn't, but if he had generally had his head, as they say, what any manager worth their salt would have done, also in a position where they couldn't get fired, which I think is very important, and can't win anything, so there's no jeopardy for them, he would have picked out who were his 20 preferred players. He'd have, out of all the people that are there, when he'd got there, said, this is going to be my squad. You lot can fucking train with the youth.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to see you ever again. Because I'm not going to be here next season, and nor might you. I would have just said, fuck off, get out of it. And then have that, the best of the 500 players we've got at Cobham at the moment, and just work with them and try to get some unity, try to get some sort of a team spirit amongst that lot. Because we've all been told all along, one of the big problems has been there are too many players, it's destroying the unity, it's all of which I agree with. And he could have, he had a chance in 11 games to do something about that, even if it was just for the short term. And out of that, maybe he'd selected a squad of 20, 25 players. We might have, really got a tune out of a few of them, got some confidence back, got some unity there. I don't know. I mean, that would have been from a footballing point of view, that would have been the sensible thing to do. But I think I agree with you. I think because Boley et al. Have made such a damn horlicks of all of this, they're put into a situation where they've got to, give Pulisic a run out occasionally to prove that he's still alive so that he's available for purchase. It's the extent of the omni shambles and the mistakes made of this season could have set us back 3 to 5 years, JK. Because
what you mean, they may have done,
They may have done. And of course, we're not going to know until it all happens. But it could have put us back 3 to 5 years. You and I both know, we've been around the block long enough, football is a very fast-moving commodity, okay? I mean, who would have thought Liverpool would have been a pile of dog shit this year? Nobody. Who would have predicted that Brighton would do as well as they have done this year? So there's... And the way the game's evolving at the moment, there are a lot of these... Villa, could be a force next year.
Brighton, that was done entirely through Emery, though. Just goes to show you the power of the coach. This is why this is why one must be positive about next season.
Absolutely. I'm not, anything can happen. We
can use Emery as an example. He comes in, has them playing a high line, has them playing, very specifically, gives great confidence to Watkins, who's been out of his skin, he's played. And we knew he was a decent player, like looking at player, but he's gone up a level. The very fact that a coach and a manager, you have to look at Guardiola, can make players become great players, or so much better than them.
Tuchel did the same. Conte was some absolutely. Of Conte made Moses a good player.
Absolutely,
I totally agree. We can't and we shouldn't write Chelsea off yet. But I think the incredible destruction of everything that Chelsea has stood for over the last 20 odd years has been spectacular, and and what they've replaced it with, whether it's on the pitch, in the coaching, management, or in the infrastructure of the club, I mean, fuck me. I mean, some of these players are on 8-year contracts. How are you going to fucking get rid of them? Sterling sitting there on 350 grand a week. I would get rid of Sterling like a shot.
Yeah,
350 grand a week. Who is going to pay that? I mean, they really have fucked it big time. And as I said, the repercussions of that could be huge, because if you drop out of that elite, it can take you a long time to get back in if you're not careful, if you don't know what you're doing. I mean, time will tell, but it's a worry, mate, I have to say, don't you think?
Similarly, Barcelona managed to get back in with a decent manager. I think it's very, very important that they get the coach. The coach's role in this is
I agree.
Absolutely paramount.
And I'm happy that we've got Pochettino. I think he's a good guy.
But he also has some very obvious philosophies that fit well with the Premier League. Fitness, pressing,
aggression.
Great aggression. He'll pass that on. He may be a meek man in his approach to the media, but
he's Argentinian, mate. I saw a lovely clip on Twitter last night of I think it was the 1993. Friendly, in inverted commas, match at Wembley between England and Argentina, and it was just a clip of all the fouls that the Argentinians were committing, and they were like two footing people, thigh height, not one yellow card. There was one yellow card, and there must have been about 15 fouls like that. They don't fuck about, mate. So got no doubts about that. I've got breaking news, JK. Alfie Gilchrist was at the sleep out, according to Mark. And Hugh says that he's... Oh, yeah, right. Fuck, now I know. Sorry, now I know what Mark's saying. Because at the sleep out, the under-20s academy boys turned up to support us. How about that? And he was there, and I didn't even know who he was then either. So there you go. apparently, Hugh says he's a defender, as does Leaf. So I think we can say he's a defender. Well, well done. I hope he gets... put a few of these kids on the bench. This is the disappointing thing, isn't it? This time of the season, if it's all gone, you don't want to see Pulisic or Ziyech off the bench. You want to see some 18-year-old kid who you've never heard of getting his one game that he'll ever play for Chelsea. I mean, that's kind of how it's supposed to work, isn't it? For fuck's sake.
It always used to be the case, wasn't it? Yeah. That,
anyway.
The guy Watt, who played against... was it Scunthorpe? Played that. He came on and never played again. And then was off.
And then somebody like Mark Meehan or Neil Smith and Kelvin Box says, "Oh, do you remember that kid? Who? Who are you talking? I mean, I know they get me.
Crutendon.
I know Crutendon. I always remember actually Nick Crutendon. I always remember that because he had an odd name. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to cheer you up now, having thoroughly depressed you for the last 15 minutes. I can tell. I'm looking at your face. You were happy, you were bubbly, and I've now hit you with a bit of reality, and now you're going, oh, fuck.
No. It's thinly below the surface, Chidge.
I know. Well, I'm going to cheer you up.
You can cheer me up. All right.
I'm going to tell you this. We have an imperious record at home to Newcastle. We've had one defeat at home to Newcastle in the Premier League in the entirety of its histoire.
Okay, so that'll be two then. After
I know, that's the depressing bit. Well, overall, against Newcastle, we're home or away throughout history. We've won 78 games, drawn 39 and lost 55. But in the Premier League at home, we've won 20, drawn 6 and only lost 1. And the loss came in...
Last year?
No, 2012. 2012, we lost.
I was thinking of away. We lost there away because Havertz got.
2nd of May, 2012, yeah. We lost 2-0. And I don't remember the match, but I can remember the context. That would have been around FA Cup, Champions League time. So Robbie D was probably resting a few people.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So there you go. So
very, very understandable to lose in 2012.
Indeed. Yeah. I mean, in terms of our recent head-to-heads, home or away, again, I mean, we lost 1-0 to them up there, didn't we, in November? I thought we were going to get battered then, actually, but we didn't. But we've won every game before that. So the last couple of seasons, kind of March 22, we won 1-0. October 21, we won 3-0 up there. February 21, we beat them 2-0 here. And November 2020, we won 2-0 up there. So we nearly always beat Newcastle, unless it's at the end of the season and we don't care, which is a bit of a bad sign, really, isn't it?
Because I remember Mourinho, when we beat them, when we won the league, the last two games of the season, he gave up, didn't he? One of them was Newcastle. You remember that? I can't remember what year that was.
I do. Newcastle are obviously somewhat on fire. I mean, I do wonder whether they'll still be hungry enough, because they've secured Champions League qualification, so they might be on the beach. They're after their third consecutive unbeaten league away game. They won one and drawn one. Their last six fixtures on the road, they've won four, drawn one, and lost one. And worryingly, they've got a goals per game ratio in their away games of 2.5. So this is the thing about Toon, isn't it? They're a big goal threat. They've got some players who can score. They're big. They shithouse for England. If they fancy it on Sunday, if they fancy it, we could be, you know, in a bit of trouble, because they do all the things that we don't do at all. They score, they shithouse, and they're mean.
They're everything that we're not.
Yeah.
They have, he's managed to sculpt them into a very, very tasty, and I mean that in the slightly aggressive way, machine. But he's made some players who just were firing on one cylinder, firing on four, like Almiron, who was, you know, big hit and miss, and the rather kind of sort of man mountain and not very good Hulk-like Joe Linton has become a decent player.
He's a defensive midfielder, he's turned him into.
Turned him into, yeah. And of course, the player who I kept saying would do very well for us, Wilson, has scored 20 goals, hasn't he? Mm. So, and is playing for England as a consequence. But that's the transformation of the team, isn't it? You've got Trippier, who was a very decent purchase, who's a nasty piece of work.
Good player, too.
Very good player.
And experienced.
But a nasty piece of work. Tries everything. And he has instilled into them how, I've said this before, because he went and learnt from Simeone. He did a course. He watched Simeone for ages, asked if he could, and they let him.
How to shithouse in football.
How to shithouse. You know, Dan Byrne is a perfect example of complete shithouse.
No, he's a brick shithouse.
Yeah, he's well expressed. Yes, yes. And they've got the bizarre Jacob Murphy, who just seems to score at will at the moment. You just think, yeah, pretty good, mate. Well done. Players that you wouldn't look at and think, wow, they're great. And yet, because the team is cooking and they've all got a rhythm, a policy, roles to play, which Howe has given them, and you mustn't underestimate Howe, I think, has done a brilliant job there with them. They've, I know, obviously, backed by, I don't know whether the money's, there hardly appear to be many different players from what he took over before when I think a couple of them were quite expensive, but I'm not looking at a massive change in squad here. He's still got Longstaff playing. He's just tactically made them, they know exactly what they're doing. And it's all done in your face at speed, which is exactly what we have not done all season. If anybody, you want to take a leaf out of anybody's book, it's Howe, who I think has done an absolutely brilliant job. So, good luck to him. Good luck to him.
Good luck to him and all of his Saudi Arabian clean money.
Hey, absolutely, Chidge. There is the... There is the rub, Chidge.
Yeah, I mean, they've not got to this position in the Premier League, with nation state owned money at all. No, absolutely. Okay. Enough of Newcastle. They're going to be a worry if they're up for it. There's no denying that. JK, you know, you've been going a long time, going way longer than me.
I've been going a very long time, Chidge.
You've been going a very long time.
Yeah, get that ball up there. Kick it up there. That's more like it. Kick it away. Get it up there. Run after it. Yeah.
JK's been going so long, they hadn't even invented rattles when he first started going.
I had a rattle, Chidge.
Anyway, right. Listen, here's a question. Here's a question. Do you expect a toxic atmosphere if we lose again, it being that this is the last occasion this season that supporters will get to vent their ire?
No, I think everybody will leave.
Well, I was going to ask the next question was what do you think will happen in the lap of appreciation? Cough.
There'll hardly be anybody there. You'll just have the families and the kids. And if there's hardly anybody there, they'll run around as quickly as possible.
I feel duty bound to, in a journalistic capacity, stay just to observe.
Yeah. And I'll take some pictures because I'll, stick a couple of them up on TikTok. It's just proof that I was there. But, I have no joy in applauding any of this team at all, I'm afraid. I think if any of the owners come on the pitch, that is when the bird will be.
I don't think they're that stupid, are they?
No. Well, who knows?
Really? They're not that stupid.
Who knows?
Well, Bowley seems to be increasingly taking a back seat, which I think is interesting.
Perhaps he's been advised by the other investors that the whole thing's been such a disaster, he should just sod off and get away from it.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Let's not get into this now because it'll be another hour, this show, and we'll have plenty of time over the summer to think about it. But there's at the back of my head, I'm a bit worried about this going massively Pete Tong. We don't know the people that own this club from Adam, but we do know what they are, they're venal, basically. They're money capital markets people.
Yeah, if it starts to unravel, they'll flog the club, won't they?
Yeah, and then who the fuck do we get then? Maybe we can get a nice Middle Eastern nation state with a very clean human rights record to buy us.
Yeah.
You know.
Do they exist?
No, they're all beautifully above board, you know that. Who knows the lap? Do you know what I could do, mate? In the lap of appreciation, I could probably, if it does empty out, which you seem to be convinced that it will. I mean, I don't know.
If we're losing,
well, I don't know.
If there's a draw or something, or it'll be slightly different. I think it's dependent on the result.
Yeah, well, I think if we get hammered again, I think it might get a bit horrible.
Yeah. Well, I think there'll be a few boos and whatever, but the people will show their disquiet by fucking off, I think.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. I know most people are planning on doing their lap of appreciation in the pub, but more of that later. If it does spill out, then what I might do, JK, is I might clamber over into the East Stand and come and wave at you, because I should be able to see you from the front row of the East Upper, shouldn't I?
Are you sure you won't be arrested and thrown out for clambering over?
No, because you can walk all the way across.
You can you?
Yeah, there's absolutely no gap. You know where Marco sits?
Yeah.
He's almost in the East Stand, really. And you can just go over a step and you're in the East Upper.
You can perambulate.
I can perambulate.
I tell you what to do is ring me and I'll wave at you. And just to say, there's my friend, I can say.
Well, we can take, videos of each other and you can put that on TikTok.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah.
So I might well do that. I must say at this point, because of course this is the most important thing in the entire show, but of course tomorrow evening is going to be the greatest night in the entire season associated with Chelsea Football Club, largely because it's got nothing to do with what's happening on the pitch, but it is the 1983-84 reunion under the bridge, organised by our good friends, people like Marco, Mark, me and DJ, Kelvin, Smithy et al., on the back of their fantastic book, Come Along and Sing This Song. Me and JK are going. I am so looking forward to it. A load of mates are going. People who I know really well on Mixler, like Daryl, are going. Matt Young is going. He's coming over from Dubai. Matt's coming over from Dubai. Isn't that brilliant? So we get to see Matt. You can talk about referees with Matt. You'll be in your element. talking of Matts, my old mate Matt, who I used to work with, who was used to go on all the Chelsea specials when I was working with him as a 21 year old. Can you imagine me at 21, JK?
I know. No, I can't.
No, well, Matt will be there, so I'm looking forward to seeing him. It's going to be a great evening. Now, as a consequence, I'm staying up in London. I'm actually staying in my flat in Pimlico this weekend, mate. So there you go.
Even though it's somebody else's...
No, because they've kind of moved... It's quite odd, really, because they're moving out on Wednesday, although they won't be there this weekend. So I'm going to be Simon's guest in my own flat this weekend. And then next Friday, I'm up at the cricket at Lord's, and it's a train strike, so we've got to stay then. So then he'll be my guest next Friday.
Oh, sweet.
Because they're moving out on Wednesday.
I tell you what, don't let him come in. Throw him out.
No, he's my best mate. I wouldn't do that.
That'd be fun, though. Yeah.
No, it wouldn't be fun. He's my best mate, you know.
Oh, okay. Just thought.
So there we go. So I'm staying up in London. Of course, we know what this means. It means that I can have a drink or 15. So I can't wait till Saturday because it's going to be a night on the beers. But actually, the more important and pertinent point is that after the match on Newcastle, I will not be having to find my car quickly and make a getaway from West London. I'm not under orders to get home at a time sober, so I can have a really good night out on Sunday and say goodbye to this season and some of the lovely people that we mix with all year in proper style. So irrespective of whatever shit Chelsea Football Club offer up on the pitch on Sunday, I am going to have a bloody good weekend with the people I know and love most at Chelsea Football Club, which are the people that listen to this show and the people who are our friends. I cannot wait, mate.
It'll be a wonderful opportunity to banish the annus horribilis that we've had this year, won't it?
Yeah, will it ever, mate? That's a good way to see it off, I think. But there you go. In which case, our last prediction of the season. And funnily enough, Jake, as you know, I basically always just regurgitate the same script and copy and paste. And I forgot to cut out, is it a question of how many? I wonder if we're asking the same question this week.
I fear it will be not a cricket score, but I think it'll be just exactly the same as we've been watching over the past few weeks. If they're up for it, they'll be, you know, their supporters will go absolutely mad because they are every opposition seems to relish the fact they're playing us because they think they're going to score four or five, at least win. So, I think we're going to be greeted with an afternoon of very loud Toon Army making derogatory remarks, and them, if they happen to play with any of the venom they've shown in any of the other games, they'll win easily, and I think they'll win by four goals. Depends on also the team that Howe plays. You might take his foot off the gas just because they've achieved everything he wanted to. But remember, they can't get higher than third, can they? And they can't be overtaken, can they?
Well, so, I don't. That's a good point. I heard a rumor that they need to make sure of that. They're definitely
if they need to make sure, then we're in for it. We're in for a rubbing.
No, okay, here's the rub. They can get third if they win and United lose. Right, to Fulham, they can get third. So they're effectively they're playing for third place, but they can't...
Well, they're playing for more money.
Yeah, well, and third, you know. I mean, Liverpool can't catch them because they're 4 points behind them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there anything on it? Slightly. I don't... I mean, I think the you know, the look, we don't know at all. I mean, I think if Chelsea play the way that they played in the first half against United... then I think we've got a chance. But I mean, what always plagues us and has done all season is that somebody at the back will make a fucking huge rick and will go a goal down and the confidence will drip out of them. Or, you know, one or two or three players will miss absolute sitters.
But, I think also the kudos that they get for humiliating us is something that
you
mustn't underestimate.
No,
they agree. They really love putting us in our place because we've done that to them.
Yeah.
20 years, all these teams, and the fact that they can come and make us roll over and really, really embarrass us is something that they really want to do. And I'm afraid I think that's what we're going to see.
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting. Excuse me, got a yawn coming in. Goodness me, it's been a long season, people. I apologise. I mean, the Monday was interesting, you know, because it was 0-0, against a very poor Leicester side who were just clinging on for a draw, and and basically parked the bus. And Newcastle huffed and puffed and tried to blow their house down, but weren't able to. So, I mean, you know, Leicester got a bit lucky, obviously, but they couldn't break them. Now, we're not going to do that. So, you know, but I think, look, if they're 5%, 10% off their intensity levels and we give it a go, then I think we can win. But there are so many ifs, and I have absolutely no idea.
Who's Frank going to buy? Who's Frank going to choose for the team? You know, you don't know if he doesn't play Mudryk and Madueke, and he plays Sterling and one, you know, another up the on the right hand side. And put it'll be Sterling and Connor, which is what he played before, if you remember, playing Connor up front with Havertz. What was that all about? You know, if he does that again, you just think, oh God's sake.
I'm gonna go balls out. You're going 4-0 to Newcastle. I'm gonna go 3-1 to Chelsea, because why not?
Why not, Chidge?
Finish with a flourish, they always say, don't they?
Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
Why not? Well, we'll see.
What have you put in your Premier predictions?
I haven't done them yet, so I'll probably choose something different.
Yeah.
4-0 to Newcastle. But
I've put 4-0 to Newcastle in my Premier
predictions. I don't know. Why not? I mean, I just thought that they didn't look... You know, we could have... I mean, you know, this is the thing. This is the thing that worries me. If they do what they've been doing all season, which is failing miserably to score because they can't put the ball on the net, and they have a defensive rick, you know, that is the pattern of this season. But if they don't make a defensive rick, they score a goal early, maybe Newcastle will say, oh, well, what the fuck, we're half pissed anyway because we're celebrating Champions League qualification. Maybe we can bang a few more in, you know. So I'm going to go for 3-1.
They'll love to win at the Bridge, and they'll love to be able to go over to their drooling fans singing, you know, Geordie Boys Pissing About, whatever they sing, that one. Yeah. They love to go over them and them rule the roost in the Bridge. It really is something that...
By the way, did I say in part one how utterly fantastic Chelsea's away support was against United? Or did I forget?
You didn't, but it was. Yeah, it was great.
It really needs to be said. I mean, I was watching on the television and they outsang Old Trafford for at least 75 minutes. They were, and that they were going through the entire repertoire of songs as well. I mean, I loved it. It was proper Chelsea. If ever there is an expression that bears that out, it is this. You know, in other words, the worse it gets, the more we sing, the funnier the songs were, and there's some real kind of gallows humour. You know, something
the
about
the away support is magnificent.
Yeah, it really was. Needs to
but
be
it,
said.
But it is. It is generally, other than. I think what was the one where everybody was depressed was when I think we thought there'd be, it was at Wolves in particular, because we thought there'd be a change under Frank, and he played the four at the back, and it was very, very quiet. And what was the following one? There's another one which was nobody sang anything at all, and we just left early. I didn't leave early, but everybody around me did. Can't remember, but it was... other than that, the away support is I would always encourage anybody coming from overseas. I know they want to go to the home matches, but if you can get an away match as well, where we win, these are so helpful with us winning. But even then, the atmosphere is so great. If there's gallows humour, even, because they'll not stop singing, they'll not stop supporting.
I had goosebumps. I was proud of them. I thought it was brilliant. They really are a credit. They really are. Right, we're going to wrap this up. We will be back on Tuesday with me and JK and the housewife's choice, Clayton Bierman. And it's Tuesday night, people. I need to just reiterate this. Tuesday night, because Mrs. Chidge has invoked the bank holiday Monday clause in my contract, which is that I'm not allowed to podcast on a Monday night. Also, actually, as I'm in London getting shit-faced with you lot all weekend, I'll be in no fit state to have even thought about doing a show on Monday. So it's going to have to be Tuesday. But me, JK Clayton, and quite possibly, I think, JK, Dane Whittle, right?
Yeah.
I think we should have Dane on as well. Why not? It's the last show. We haven't had Dane on at all.
I think he offered himself as a substitute, because I'm in hospital on the day, but I should be back.
Are you all right?
I have a minor operation.
Okay. Nothing serious, I hope.
It is new. Just it. A little tweaking of various things. And
you said you were getting your knob straightened on WhatsApp.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Yeah, I didn't believe that for a second. J- JK's getting his eyebrows plucked on Tuesday in hospital, apparently. So.
Apparently. I'm having a facelift. Yeah.
Well, I hope it goes all right, mate. I was worried about you when I read that. But,
oh, well, thank you. Yeah, no. It's just a minor op. And they said I'll be free in the evening. But if by any chance, yeah, get Dane in.
All right.
If there is I'll then feel we're in safe hands.
Yeah, and if we don't feel up to it, you know, there are more important things than doing this show, as we all know. So any three or four from me, JK, Clayton Beerman and Dane Whittle will be with you at 7:30 on Tuesday night. We'll be looking back, obviously, at the match against Newcastle and saying good riddance to a horrible season. So there you go. I can't wait. JK, it's been a delight doing the show just with you tonight. We've had a lot of fun, haven't we?
Great fun. Thank you, Chief. Thank you very much.
Well done, you. Right.
I think it's worked. It worked because we have the same affinity that we have for doing it as In Off the Post.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's a bit like In Off the Post, but not.
But not, yes. Yeah. Good.
We have to come up with the words on this one, so it's a bit harder. Yeah, indeed.
We managed, though, I thought.
I thought we did all right. I thought we did all right. Right, I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. See you tomorrow at the 83-84 do.
I'll be there. It's a 6:30 start or 6:00.
I have no idea, but I'm going to be there early getting pissed.
It's on my ticket.
I'm going to be there getting quite pissed from early afternoon. So there's a chance I might not even be able to speak by the time you arrive. So I'll have an interpreter with me.
I'll tell you what, I'll interpret for you.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
What chidge means is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I can say whatever I like, and you could go.
I know. I'd be powerless. It'd be quite funny. We should do a whole show like that one day. Maybe I don't know.
I'd love it.
Anyway, lovely to see you, old Bean, as always, and well done for the entire season. I mean, I don't say this enough, but knowing that you pretty much do every show that I do takes a huge load off me, and I love you to pieces for it as well as obviously being a huge amount of fun seeing your little face two or three times a week.
Yeah, and it's very fun indeed for me to do as well. That's why I do it as well. And we must get all the fan bites together and put them as one big fan bite.
I did say we'd do that on YouTube, didn't I?
Yeah, we got YouTube. So I'll cobble them all together.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah, brilliant. Good idea. Lovely. Well done, mate. It's been fun this season. It's been the only thing that's been fun this season, doing the show with you and the others, I have to say. But well done. And you lot out there, I mean, fucking hell, you deserve medals too for listening to us prattle on all season, moaning for most of it. So well done to you lot. Give yourselves a big pat on the back. Now, looking forward to seeing some of you tomorrow night and in the pub on Sunday, obviously. So there you go. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it chills. Come along. We sing this song.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.